Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. Ready to talk some Penn State football. And you know what, Andy? Maybe even several weeks ago now, we started to take a look at this team. And we got through the offense. Okay, that was what, about 4 weeks ago. With the promise
like a month ago, yeah.
With the promise that the following week we would talk about the defense. And you know what? We screwed up.
No, I think something came up, like something newsworthy or something that like, okay, we have to talk about this. We'll put the defense on the back burner.
Yeah, I think it was Matt Campbell met the media, had his press conference. And then we had you abandon us for a golfing excursion.
Right.
So how about now we get back? We get back to the defense. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. The defense needs to it. I could share with our listeners, our initial plan was to do offense and defense in the same show. And that didn't happen, so that's why the defense got bumped, because we didn't fulfill our end of the bargain time-wise, because we got a little too chatty Cathy on everybody. But, yeah, let's talk about the defense, because there's a lot to talk about on this side of the ball in terms of evolution and changeover. And, you know, with Matt Campbell, that's natural, but he's got a little bit of his guys there, but he doesn't have – his coordinator is not coming for what's not his DC at Iowa State. It's a new guy. So there's a whole bunch of moving parts on this defense.
All right. And not to get back to the offense, but quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, a couple offensive linemen, and the coordinator, the quarterback coach, the tight ends coach. He brought in much of the Iowa
East.
Yes. Yeah. Defense a little bit different, new coordinator, and also not quite the same number of Iowa State players coming in. Let's do this position by position, Andy. Let's start at the defensive line, work our way out from there. Let's start in the middle. Let's start at that defensive tackle position where I think the theme is we're going to get some big guys to do this.
Well, I knew that's where you'd land, but I need to help you, you know, understand the reality of football analysis. But I want to start with this. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Zane Durant played bad football last year at all. He did not. I don't even think he took even a huge step backwards. I think he was just neutralized. Here's what I want to say. I believe in probably the last 15 to 20 years, that might have been some of the least effective and impactful. So that's being nice. Least effective and least impactful defensive play from a Penn State defense that I could recall. And was it kind of always going to be that way, even with Zane Durant coming back? It kind of felt so, and I wondered, like, okay, so he lost his mates, right? He lost a bit of his cover. He still had some on the outside. But literally, after the JV schedule, you could tell by watching even the JV schedule that the only thing an offense had to worry about in the Big Ten in terms of interior defensive line for Penn State was Zane Durant. So they could completely focus on him. In this new defense, there you go, Jimmy. You're going to get exactly what you want. The transfer portal, they went bigger. They went with 300-pounders, right? You got a couple of UCLA guys who transfer in. This is the area of the defense. It's a lot of transfer guys. It's guys you don't know. It's guys you're going to learn about. It's guys you're going to see. But the way I look at it, this is the area of the defense that they're going to overhaul the most, as Penn State fans know it, right? What they're used to seeing and what they've come to understand and know from their defense, this is going to be the area or the part of the defense that I think changes the most. But this is also the area of the defense with what they have brought in and what they have sort of assembled in this room. It could be the unit that performs at the next level that you might not expect them to perform at that next level. So this one is the room that I'm going to be watching and the position I'm going to be watching the most through spring ball, through camp, and through the first month of the season. Because there's something there that either is going to really, really be an advantage for this team, or it's something that where they're going to have to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. So it's, I think it's probably the most important position in the evolution of this sort of everything is new era at Penn State and then their football team. I think this one has to be the most different, and this one has the most potential to be the game changer for Penn State. So it's the one that's going to feature a whole lot of new, and we'll see if we like it. But just for a start, they got big dudes, so Jimmy's happy.
Well, yes, we like big dudes. Good big dudes are going to be better than little good dudes. But are mediocre or average big dudes better than good smaller dudes? And, you know, that's my question. You didn't go in the portal and bring back sure things. Okay?
No.
These are guys who...
You found a certain stock. You were looking for a certain blueprint at this position. I think that's more than anything else. That's a good point. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jimmy, but it's a secondary point. They wanted a certain type of player, not in a cookie cutter way, but they were looking, if there's five elements we're looking for, these were the top three priorities, and they kind of fit in that window.
And I think that an overall theme with the players they brought in the portal, they brought in a lot of veteran players. These are veteran players that they brought in. And once more, veteran is probably better than young in general, just like big is better than smaller. But are they better? That's the question, Andy. And I'll ask, how good are they, these players they're bringing in?
Yeah, I'm not willing to go there, Jimmy. I need to see him in the Big Ten, per se, and I want to see him, you know, at Penn State. But here's what I do know. They have a lot of tread on their tires. They've played. They've played at a bunch of different places, but they've played. They put up decent and respectable numbers, but they weren't highlight reel players, right? These aren't superstars. These aren't big fish. They didn't land big fish. They landed, you know, effective.
Duffies?
No, they landed effective players who have seat time and have some tread on their tires. That way they can start from a certain spot. They don't have to start lower. They can start higher. And can they give them more, and can they be better? That's the question. I think they're going to give them more. They're going to make this defensive line complex, particularly on the inside, because these guys can handle it. Are they better? And as you're looking at comparison to last year, for me, that defensive line, would interior-wise, that was just, I use the words, what, effective? And they were just god-awful, Jimmy. They were horrible.
Well, I think what I'm hearing you say, Andy, is I think we've got at least a high enough floor, probably not a high ceiling, though, with these players. But positionally, if there's a place that you want that, it's defensive tackle. They're not going to typically make the highlight plays. And that leads us to defensive ends. This is where you are looking for the highlight play. Where are they at defensive end? They've got a couple returners that are pretty high level. Ivan Kamaju showed us a little bit. Max Granville, I know he was out last year, but prior to that, he had shown some promise. I know a lot of people are high on Alex McPherson, the transfer from Colorado.
So here's what I'll tell you. In the sort of Chop Robinson, you know, Abdul Carter, deny Dennis Sutton. No, stop. You're not, there's nothing even close to that. This is about to become the Badlands of Penn State's defense this year. They lost a lot, Jimmy. They lost a whole lot. And, you know, they have a couple of younger players, and you mentioned them, but I think the safe play here is to have much, much lower expectations and to hope the defensive end is that one sort of identified position that isn't part of a bigger problem, right? Like, just hold serve. Just, you know, you don't have to be exceptional. You don't have to be the guys I just mentioned. You know, yeah, you mentioned Max Granville. He flashed just a wee bit at the end of 24, but he lost all of last season to an injury. Kamaji's redshirt, they burned because, not because they wanted to, but because they had to, because he needed to be on the field. But he is, his talent is unrefined rawness that flashes, that keeps you wanting to see more. So there are some bright spots. They have, and then they have some transfer dude. There is a little bit of bright spot, but remember, and they will have some help inside, but they don't have any known impact players. Even at the lowest level of impact, I would put it, Jimmy, even at the lowest level of impact, they don't have anything close to that. So it's a little brick by brick, very small baby steps or big steps forward. And I think a lower understanding and expectation of what quarterback impact will be better than quarterback sacks. This is not going to be a sack-heavy group, but if they can be consistently pocket impact, that's a big game changer for them because they'll have help on the inside. That's what I think it is. But I think it's a bit of a Badlands position for this coming year.
We've been used to, over the last couple of years, and you mentioned some of the names, Andy.
Top.
Someone coming back. There's always been backfill, the younger guy taking that next step. Now, yep, we don't have that guy who's already taken those first couple steps,
yep,
and is already there. We'll need, and, you know, Granville, Kamaju, and even McPherson coming in from Colorado. He just had 1 year there.
Yeah.
These are the young guys that, you know, you keep your fingers crossed, hope they take that next step. All right, Andy, we got through the defensive line. That's not too bad. Let's hit the rest of the defense when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. This is quarter number two of our show. Andy, we are going through Penn State's new look defense, a lot of changes here. And we got through the defensive line, which, if you go the three layers, defensive line, linebacker, DBs, defensive line is probably the one we're keeping our fingers crossed most about. Let's hit the linebacker position and see where we are at there. One of the big retention, Tony Rojas is coming back. He's coming off of injury. Then, Andy, several Iowa State players are going to come in and make themselves known. Top of the list, Caleb Bacon, Cooper Abel, two guys who were at the top of the list for Iowa State's defense as far as number of tackles go. Typical for a linebacker. What do you think?
So Tony Rojas is going to be he's gonna step into a leadership role, right? Like, you know, they've heard, you know, he could possibly be a team captain. He's gonna be one of those guys. He's an impactful player. He's a hugely impactful player. He lost 80%, you know, he got hurt in the Oregon game and was done for the year with a serious injury. He is a hugely impactful player on about 20% of the snaps. That's what I'm going to say. He still has a whole lot better to get in the devil in the details as a linebacker to make sure the other 80% do not create issues for the rest of the defense and the guys around him. He simply has to play better play to play. That's it. He is, at the highest levels, a 20% flash player. At the very highest levels, Jimmy, there aren't many in the country that can flash like him and make those kind of impact plays at that level. But the other 80% is a mile behind that. And it, even through the first JV schedule, and I just wasn't seeing that. I was seeing too much of the same, but it was such too small of a sample size. He has to be better play to play. The guys they got from Iowa State are backbone. They are the backbone and will kind of be the backbone, I think, of this defense at the linebacker position. They're experienced. There's three of them. They have a crap ton of tackles. They're versatile. They know what they're doing. You know, go here, go there, go east, go west. It doesn't matter. They find a way to get to the football. They're the best type of seasoned college football players you can kind of get your hands on. They're not flashy. They don't, and it's exactly what Penn State needs. They're not like guys that are, you know, first or second round NFL picks, but when you watch them, you know, say we're in the Rojas model, 80% of the time they're doing 100% of the stuff right. And that's what this defense will want and need. This is the position that will backbone this defense. And I think those veterans will give Rojas a little bit more room to be that freewheel impact player. If not, he's got to be better. He still needs to be better.
I think that's a good way to describe it. And Bacon and Abel, both seniors, both with multiple seasons of greater than 60 tackles.
Okay. Well, they had 150 combined last year or something? Yeah, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I have them at 145.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For last year. Which, by the way, this is my opportunity to throw this little note out there for you, Andy. When we get to the safeties, we'll give you a couple of those names. But the top four tacklers on Iowa State's team last year are now on Penn State's roster.
Yeah. Those are the guys they need on that side of the ball.
Right. Those are the guys who play in, play out. They're the consistent. There's the high floor with them. You know what you're going to get from them. That's a nice foundation, a nice base to start with. And they're all veterans. That's the other part of it. All right, Andy. Well, let's go directly to that safety position. And there are names like Marcus Neal, Jameson Patton. Marcus Neal, by the way, he had 77 tackles a year ago from the safety position at Iowa State. Jameson Patton, another senior. And I'm not sure where to throw in Jeremiah Cooper, another player from Iowa State who had played cornerback. This past season, he went to safety. This might be kind of a swing guy.
Nickel.
But you've got, you know, at least two pretty good and probably three actual pretty good players from Iowa State there as defensive backs and specifically safeties.
Yeah. So safety is the get your roster out position for the Nittany Lions defense this year. Like, who's that dude? Who's that dude? Right. They lost to Key Wheatley to the NFL, and they should. King Mack went to the NFL as well. DeJuan Lane.
No, King Mack transferred.
Oh, he transferred. I'm sorry. And DeJuan Lane. And he had a ton of potential and upside. He went in the transfer portal as well. So I think Marcus Neal Jr. is the safety. I think he'll be the free safety. I think he is the biggest fish that they landed. I know everyone talks about the quarterback. And Rocco is. there, Rocco should be first because he's a quarterback. But in my mind, Neil is the biggest impact player because it was the at quarterback, Matt Campbell got to make a choice. Matt Campbell didn't have any choices of safety, right? Like Grunkmeyer, if Campbell doesn't choose Rocco, Grunkmeyer probably stays, right? And Penn State has a quarterback. But safety, hello, everyone left. So that's why I think Marcus Neal, he is, and he's a potential NFL player, potential. He still needs another level in this elite power conference to show that. To me, he's the biggest fish that Matt Campbell landed in this group. And for different reasons, not because I think Rocco's not any good, because he's really good. But this is the greatest need Penn State had. He fills the greatest need on this roster in terms of where Penn State had the fewest options. I still think it could be a weakness, despite him, if this is where the biggest learning curve is going to happen with the new DC, is at this back position. These guys need to figure out exactly what the coaches and coaching staff want from them and make sure that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's, because they have a leader and they have an impact player. They got to be better around him. These guys need to be good around him. And it's all wait and see, but they have a dude. And that's a huge deal in my book.
I think it should also be pointed out, Vebu Torre is returning, a returning Penn State player. Also, Andy, this is where I may get myself in a little bit of trouble here, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. In these decisions, you have, let's use the quarterback as the example, Ethan Grunkmeyer versus Rocco Beck. I think they would have been okay if they were able to get Rocco Beck, they would have been okay in keeping Ethan Grunkmeyer. They made a conscious decision that Rocco Beck was the guy they wanted, knowing that they would probably lose Ethan Grunkmeyer. Okay, but I think that decision was more about Rocco Beck than Ethan Grunkmeyer.
Agreed.
You know, in other positions, I think they did a little bit of pick and choose who among the Penn State players they wanted to have return versus knowing, okay, here's who we probably feel comfortable that we would be able to get from Iowa State. So if, King Mack leaves, Lane, I'm not saying they didn't like those players, didn't care. I'm just using as an example, we're choosing among not just the Penn State players, but also the Iowa State players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I understand what you're saying.
It's not just a little bit of, oh, we wanted to keep those guys and, you know, they left. I think some of it is they made a conscious decision. At linebacker is maybe the better example. We wanted Tony Rojas. We weren't sure we wanted Amari Campbell nearly as much as we wanted Tony Rojas. Sure. Or these other guys from Iowa State that were coming back. So I think some of this, it wasn't so much the player making the decision, it's the coaching staff also was part of that decision. Anyway, made that too long an explanation. Let's get to the cornerback room, Andy, which kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in the number of returning players. May have something to do with the position coach there, but we're seeing returnees, Davian Collins, Darius Dixon, Zion Tracy, Jameer Joseph, all Penn State guys returning, Andy.
Yeah, this
not
is
a coincidence.
This is the Blue Bloods room, right? It's all PSU guys and Terry Smith State. So, I mean, they still lost a lot at this position to the transfer portal. I know you don't necessarily fully see it that way, Jimmy, but I mean, a surefire NFL talent went to Indiana, and what I thought was a serious growing potential NFL talent gone. Still, there's a lot to hang your hat on here, because the starters at the end of the bowl game, Davian Collins, Darius Dixon, and Zion Tracy, they're all back, as you know. And Collins and Tracy were starters all season for Penn State. So I think Collins' stock keeps rising, and it just feels like he's sitting on that next level season to me. at the end of the day, with a combination of what they have, what you've seen, experience at this level, and the coaching, this is the strength of this defense, bar none. Clear cut, 100%. You need super Walmart between this and number two. The cornerbacks, the depth, the experience at this position, and the talent at this position, clear cut number one strength of defense, corners. End of story.
I think you also need to make sure you mention Darius Dixon also, Andy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And he started in the didn't he start in the bowl game?
And he I'm not sure if he started, but he got starter minutes, starter reps also during the season. This was a kid, true freshman, you know, when you're a cornerback, you're always put out there on an island, and they trusted him out there, Andy. And you know what? I trust him also. I think that was a huge, huge retention there for them. All right, Andy, how about that? Two segments, we got all the way through the defense. What do you think?
Just like we planned. Uh-oh, did we just go according to plan?
Yes, Andy, yes, we did. That's a surprise. When we come back, according to plan, quarter three, it's your questions and we ask Andy. Stay tuned for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number three. Yes, it's that time. It's time for your questions. Andy's favorite segment of the show. He'd rather answer your questions than my questions. So let's get right to it, Andy. Let's start with Chris in New York. Chris is becoming a bit of a regular. Uh-oh. Chris says, between Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, who gets drafted first? Who will be the better pro? And this is assuming a healthy Nick Singleton, who's coming off a broken foot.
Yeah. So that's such a good question. They're so dynamically different. I think Nick Singleton's drafted higher. I think short-term, Catron Allen has more immediate NFL impact. Long-term and ceiling, I think Nick Singleton's your better NFL back. Just because of, I mean, Catron Allen doesn't, it isn't a shortcoming for him to, you know, swing out of the backfield and catch a pass. That's not a shortcoming for him. It's just, he's really good in between the tackles, which is uber important in the NFL today. It's all about space, though, dude. And just Nick Singleton in space without a broken foot and healthy is just different, right? It's just different, Jimmy. So, you know, here's the other thing. Both are, like, excellent. The NFL is going to love both these guys because they're, among all the other things, they're both outstanding blitz pickup blockers, right? Like, they're really good at it. They're very good at it. That's so next level when NFL scouts, it just makes them go, it makes NFL scouting staffs lose their ever-loving mind when they see, you know, potential NFL backs block at that level consistently and do it that well. That just makes them lose their ever-loving mind that they, so, it's a really good question, Chris. It's a really, really good question. I think Nick gets drafted first. I think Catron's impact short-term is higher than Nick's. But at the end of the day, I think when you look back at it, you know, I'd say Nick Singleton has the better overall NFL career.
Interesting, Andy. I think I've seen some mock drafts where Catron Allen has been drafted prior to Nick Singleton. And I don't know if that will actually be the case or not. I think they're both NFL running backs. I think Nick Singleton's probably better than his numbers that we saw, especially this past season. His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, as you pointed out, they're both pretty big, strong guys who are willing to take on the role of picking up the blitz. And it reminds me, and this one's for the old timers, Andy. I remember Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell coming out at the same time. And the Lydell Mitchell was the more prolific back in college. But Franco Harris was picked ahead of Mitchell in the draft, which kind of surprised a little 9-year-old Jimmy at the time. And I don't think the Steelers have any regret in taking Franco Harris. All right, let's – oh, you're going to like this one too, Andy.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Jimmy ran across one. He's like, ooh, I got to ask him this one.
Well, it's kind of got a similar feel to the question from Chris. Lou from Uniontown says, how do you rate Rocco Beck versus the quarterbacks that have been here under James Franklin? Drew Aller, Ethan Brunkmeyer, Sean Clifford, Trace McSorley, and Christian Hackenberg.
Wow. So I don't think he has as much measurable talent, you know, arm strength, et cetera, as Christian Hackenberg and Drew Aller, right? I think he doesn't have that sort of Trace McSorley thing that very few quarterbacks have, right? Like, there's a thing that Trace had, and it didn't translate to the NFL because it's irrelevant at the NFL level. There's a thing as a college football player, there's a thing that Trace had that you just, it's such a unicorn and so rare. So he's more in the Sean Clifford mold with, they're very similar. I wouldn't put one above the other. They're very similar quarterbacks in terms of their, you know, effectiveness and impact. I think at times Sean Clifford's expectations got sort of elevated too high for him by Penn State fans. But, you know, he played, you know, Rocco's played hurt. Rocco's played through injuries. Sean played hurt, played through injuries. Their numbers are very similar. I think in that mold, he's like a Sean Clifford. Pure production-wise, I think he's even better than Drew and Christian Hackenberg, you know, over a 3-year span, but I don't think he has as much God-given talent. So I'd put him, that's where I'd put him. I'd put him behind them talent-wise. I'd match him with Clifford. I think Trace is just a unicorn that when you try and put him on lists, you're just making yourself go mad. It's hard to do.
If you go to rank those lists and you do it as, you know, their abilities as a college quarterback, Trace McSorley's the guy. I did the same thing. I matched him up. I think he's most similar to Sean Clifford. He doesn't have the arm of, you know, Drew Aller or Christian Hackenberg and that style. But I think Sean Clifford is the best comp
in this situation. That's a good way to
put it. That's not a bad thing, by the way.
No,
and
that is not a bad thing at all.
You know, Sean Clifford was here forever. You know, Rocco Beck, he has the most starts of any returning college quarterback. So I think there's a lot of similarities there. Let's go to Matt in Massachusetts. And I think you can take this question sort of a couple different ways, but let me see how you interpret it. Matt says, Jim and Andy, a follow-up question on your previous comment about recruiting via the transfer portal. Do you think it will be more difficult to compete with the talent in the transfer portal or not, considering NIL is now overshadowing it all? I think you can take that in a couple of ways. Like, how do you compete, you know, in recruiting from the portal? And then, you know, you could also take it, how do you compete with portal players, so many that they brought in? I think he's talking about how good a recruiter or recruiting program can Penn State be in the transfer portal.
It's pretty simple, Jimmy. How big's your war chest? That's it. I mean, let's just call it it's free agency. You know, these kids are going to get two, you know, take the top 50 kids in the transfer portal, irregardless of position, top 50 overall. They're all going to probably get 2 to 3 offers minimum, right? Like, okay, it's just like a free agent, right? The top 50 free agents in the NFL. Who's going to offer them and how much are they going to offer? What do they see as the value proposition for them? And that's it. How deep is your war chest? How much money and how much resources are you going to put into it? And which players are you going to pick to put those resources in? The second part, which players are you going to pick to put your resources in? That's the part where you might choose to put your resources into a guy and really want a guy, and somebody else is willing to put more into him. And that's going to be sort of your measuring stick. What is our ceiling? How much are we willing? Are we willing to get into a bidding war? Are we willing to overpay for a player that we see fits the mold that we're looking for on the up, in terms of the upside and a next level player? So, but at the core of it, that's devil in the detail side of it. At the core of it, Matt, which is a great question, how big's your war chest and how deep do you need to spend it?
And it's, yes, how are you going to allocate those dollars?
Right.
And we saw, to your point, Kamen Spell, 5-star running back from Pennsylvania, who had committed to James Franklin initially at Penn State, reopened his recruitment, ended up at Georgia after, you know, the On3 arrival. Somebody predicted, put in the crystal ball for him to commit to Penn State. Those things are usually, they have inside information and they know. So to me, it sounded like Spell was coming to Penn State. Georgia. And then, as you put it, Georgia opened up the pocketbook. And
Georgia outbid him. Yeah, and they did not want to match that. They didn't see it as a good value prop.
And by the way, yes, there's nothing wrong with it for the player doing that. Nope. And also, you have to look at, you know, positional value.
Correct.
That's that running back. Yep. So they go get another running back for less money who will do close the same job, and we could invest those dollars elsewhere. All right, Andy, let's go to Dave in Wilmington, Delaware, who says, Matt Campbell has been good with overachieving 3-star players. Is that good enough to win in the Big Ten? Or is he going to have to find a way to recruit 4- and 5-star guys and coach them up? Oh, and is that a different skill set, coaching up the 4- and 5-star guys?
It's not, because – so he's used to coaching sort of marginal, unrealized talent, right? There's a process that he's gone through to do that. There's a process. It's the same process to help 4- and 5-star elite talent realize its talent. So the core of it is player development. He's never had access or the ability at Iowa State to recruit 4 and 5. Is he going to have to do it at Penn State? Yes. He can't do it like he did it at Iowa State and be successful in the Big Ten. You just simply can't. It's a power conference. It's one of two. He can't recruit 3 stars and finish, you know, 32nd in the star recruiting ratings and do it. He's going to have the resources to do more, and he's got sort of the blue blood and sort of the moxie to do more, and he will. But I don't believe the way that they go about building unrealized talent into realized talent changes all that much with the star rating, because of the way Matt does it. There are coaches that do it differently. Matt's not one of them. Matt is not built like that. That's not how he coaches. And so that's my answer. Good question, Dale.
All right. That's it, Andy, for Ask Andy. Stick around. We got more to talk about.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And Andy, as you often do, you ran out the clock at the end of quarter number three.
Oh, no.
Did not allow me to respond. The last question was about Matt Campbell. Will he be able to bring in the 4 and 5 stars? I'm just saying there's going to be this balancing act. He want, as you always say, Andy, he want to get in the right guys, but you also want going to need more talent than you did at Iowa State. All right, let's get to our quarter four topic. I didn't take up too much time with that, Andy.
No.
Guess what we have going on right now, Andy? The Combine.
NFL Combine.
Yes. NFL Combine. And Penn State has 9 players going to the Combine. And they'll decide how much to work out. Got some injury issues with Nick Singleton and Drew Aller to deal with, although Drew Aller said he will throw. Important for him to do that.
Yeah.
But the fact, first of all, that they have 9 players going to the Combine, that's pretty comparable to what Indiana, your national champion, and Ohio State, who probably has the best talent in the country. I think Ohio State has 10 players, Indiana 9, Penn State 9. It reminds us, boy, this was a wasted season. A lot of talent wasted.
How much wasted talent was the 2026 season? And it cost James Franklin his job because he didn't know how to drive a V8. He knew how to recruit high-end talent. He didn't know how to make it sink. And they assembled a championship-caliber roster and fell flatter than anybody in college football last year. They even fell flatter and further than Terry Smith put some beautiful, wonderful makeup and lipstick on a pig. He did a fantastic job. And it still was the longest fall from grace in college football in 2025.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Dabo Swinney at Clemson says, hold my beer.
No, yeah, but not Clemson was... Clemson was close, but Penn State was higher because they fired their coach and they lost 2 games. Just they looked like a JV team against a JV roster, and then they lost 3 games in a row, and 2 of them they got gobsmacked, kind of.
All right, let's get to the point here. Let's get to the players. First of all, just to recite them: Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Khalil Dinkins, offensive lineman Drew Shelton, Vega Ioane from the defensive side, Denai Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant, and safety Zakee Wheatley. A lot of talent there. Andy, who has the most to gain at the Combine among those players?
Well, there's a couple places, but let's just start with Captain Obvious. We have to talk about Drew Aller to start, Jimmy. You have to do it. It's a unique situation on about 9 different levels. Where it starts with me is, okay, sort of I'd say in the last 5 to 6 years, and Tom Brady's partly responsible for this because of his greatness, the quarterback position is an enigma, right? It's like, it's overdrafted, it under-delivers, but then you've got, you know, these little nuggets that deliver. So is it a heavy class? This is the thin of the thinnest. This class is like ridiculously quarterback enigma and thin. I mean, Mendoza from Indiana, your Heisman Trophy winner, he's the number one overall pick lock. He's going to go to Vegas Raiders. Rest in peace, Oakland. And then after that, who, Jimmy, right? There's no depth in this class, as it seems, as an NFL quarterback when you're looking at it. I mean, I think it's a stretch. Ty Simpson from Alabama, a top 20 pick, maybe that's overdrafting. I really think there might be two quarterbacks drafted in the top 40 or 50 picks of this draft overall. This is where Drew Aller comes in. He's an enigma, right? He's got all of this arm talent. He's got the size, the height, the measurables, the arm talent. He didn't have much help at Penn State, there, you know, at the wide receiver position. You know, after Simpson and Mendoza, which probably will be the two guys that go, what do you have? Carson Beck, Garrett Nussmeier? What's the difference between those guys and Drew Aller, really? And on many fronts, Drew Aller's a mile ahead of those guys. On a couple fronts, they're a mile ahead of Drew Aller. So where does he fit? Is someone going to take a flyer? He's going to throw at the combine. His ankle's probably not good enough to do, you know, the running drills and hopping and all of that. But he can throw. And in underwear football, which the combine is, he's going to crush it because he's got all those natural gifts, right? They'll measure him, look at his hands. He might do the bench press and strength. They'll probably do fairly well. He's one of those that has a lot to gain here. And he's also, if this was a deep class, he'd be an afterthought, Jimmy. He kind of would be. If there were five or six potential NFL quarterbacks in this draft class, Drew Aller would be an afterthought. But he's not, because there aren't. It is an enigma position and a wickedly thin class.
It will be interesting to see if somebody falls in love with that arm strength. There's up close when you watch him throw the ball, this guy looks like he's somebody special. Will there be a GM somewhere or a coach who says, We can get it out of them? All right, Andy, typically Penn State combine story is always, athletic. My goodness, this guy is a freak athlete.
Yep.
Who's going to be that guy in this group?
Well, Vega will be that guy. Vega, you want it. He'll be that guy. He's a, you know, he will have a bright, bright spotlight on him because he's regarded as a potential first-round draft pick. He's regarded as one of the best, if not the best, at his position in this draft. And he is an athletic freak. And he will show it. But he will have a lot of bright lights pressure on him because he comes into this with the regard that he does. Everything will be evaluated and micromanaged and overanalyzed. But he doesn't have anything to lose, because the tape doesn't lie, and he is an athletic freak, but he will be overanalyzed. I'm 100% sure of that, and it won't impact him at all. He really doesn't care. He will just go out and perform, but he has a very, very, very bright spotlight on him, but he doesn't have anything to gain, and he won't lose anything because he's just not good.
I think two guys who could qualify as that freak kind of guy, Khalil Dinkins, whose numbers didn't, you know, jump off the page. But if you remember, he was listed in the freak athletes in the preseason. And the other guy, if you've watched Deni Dennis Sutton make some of the plays that he does, just got a feeling he's going to show something also, Andy.
Yeah, he'll show something as well. Khalil Dinkins will wow you, but then you'll put on the tape and he won't. So there's like the dichotomy of Khalil Dinkins. So when I'm thinking about this Penn State group and nine players, the one guy, the guy who I'm going to follow through the draft process, through the combine, and I'm going to keep an eye on him, it's Zane Durant. That's the guy I'm following, Jimmy. I knew you were going to get who's the guy that you're interested in. It's Zane, because Zane had that blow up year, right? Like He had all his dudes around him. They had played together for a long time. And he elevated himself. And he was a problem 2 years ago, Jimmy. He was a major problem 2 years ago. He still played a very good football season in 2025. He was part of a group that was that bad that an offensive line and an offensive coordinator only had him to worry about. So his impact was neutered, but his play was still outstanding. And NFL scouts will see that. Can he elevate himself and become a third round pick, second round pick, or, you know, right now he's regarded as a, you know, third day pick probably, but I'm interested in him because if you go back and watch some of the junior stuff, you're like, whoa, 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 hold on here. If you watch the senior stuff, you're like, ah, he's not flashing. There's a reason for it. But when you go back and watch the junior stuff, you're like, whoa, 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 that guy's trouble here. So I'm curious about him more than anybody.
I'm going to throw out two names for different reasons that we haven't mentioned. Katron Allen, he's had the productivity. You talked about, you know, you
physical
score well athletically, but do you see it on the field? Katron Allen, we saw it on the field. Will we see it here? You know, the 40 time, that type of thing. The other guy, and Zaki Wheatley, I'm curious about, just because, Andy, every year a Penn State safety goes to the combine and
dog.
People go, holy bleep.
Dog. That guy, he's a dog.
Yeah. Are we going to see that again with Zaki Wheatley?
Heck yes. Dude, he is a dog. He is an NFL starter. He might not be a super high draft pick, but when he starts playing football, he just becomes this player that you're like, there's our fifth, you know, say they get drafted in the fourth round. There's our fourth round draft pick doing everything our third year safety. We won out of our third year safety already. He is that kind of player. He is a dog. He's versatile. He's got everything. I think he will be the gem of this draft, whoever lands him.
What about Katron Allen? How do you think he's going to test?
Yeah, I don't think he tests super great because that's not what his game's about, right? Like he's not a paint by numbers guy. He's a just hand him the football, put him on the field, and just wind him up and let him go. And you just sit there and go, man, I mean, you know, Nick had injuries, but injuries aside, halfway through the season, who was your RB1? It was Katron Allen, not because Nick was short. It was because Katron was doing that good. So I don't think he tests great, but I don't think that matters.
We got 20 seconds. Drew Shelton, the only name we haven't mentioned.
Yeah. Solid NFL center, late round pick, needs one more level of development at the NFL level, but could be a solid interior offensive lineman pro and a center.
Okay, so you think he'll move to the interior?
I think so, yeah. I think he could be a guard.
All right, Andy, that's the final word. We timed it out perfect. That's it for the show. Hope we see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.